Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
The U.S. troops were supported back home by a very well-oiled machine. People worked diligently to see that our soldiers had everything that they needed to win a very important war. There was one particular factory that was responsible for making brass casings for shells that went into tanks. And those casings had to be flawless. They had to be meticulously crafted. And they were. But at some point during the war, word was received that a number of those crates of casings, shells, were arriving at their destination overseas useless. They were corroded, damaged, and good for nothing. So an investigation was done. And the investigation proved that there was sabotage. Acid had been put on those brass casings. And over time, they were corroding. And there was a danger that they could even detonate prematurely. And so then they had to try to figure out where the acid was coming from, who was responsible. And further investigation led them to the culprit. But it wasn't a who. It was a what. The culprit was a peanut vending machine. Some of the workers on their breaks would go get some peanuts out of the vending machine. And the salt on their gloves was causing the casings to corrode. Mistakes made in the past were having an adverse effect on something very important in the present. You know, the home is a lot like that. Sometimes the struggles we may be facing in the present, the lack of peace that may characterize our homes, may be due to mistakes made in the past. We've been doing a series of lessons on Sunday mornings the past few weeks that we've entitled Peace in the Valley. And we have tried to cover a number of topics, such as last week's Peace in the Valley of Unanswered Questions. We plan to do another couple of lessons probably in this series, but today we're going to look at peace in the valley of hectic homes. Of all the places in the world today that ought to be characterized by peace, it ought to be our homes. Our families ought to be, our relationships and our families ought to be peaceful ones. But many times that's not the case. Sadly, but truly, sometimes our homes are far from peaceful. Due to mistakes that some may have made in the past. But regardless of what our current status is in our own home relationships, it's always good for us to take some time to go back and reacquaint ourselves with God's will as it regards our homes. So that if it be the case that we've lost somewhere along the way the peaceful atmosphere that should characterize our families, let's see if we can recognize some of the mistakes that often remove peace from our homes. Peace in the valley of hectic homes. What are some of the things that can take that peace away? Let me offer you these. Number one, not understanding the connection that exists between marriage and God. Sometimes our homes are not peaceful because we have somewhere along the way lost, in our own way of thinking, the connection that exists between married life and God. We've got to always remember that it was God who instituted marriage. He's the one that thought it up. We did not, as human beings, come up with this idea ourselves. It was God who instituted the home. He created it. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, that after God had made man, He saw that there was not a helper suitable for the man. And so He created woman, and He brought them together. Genesis 2, 18 and following. And Jesus would add comment to that in Matthew chapter 19 when He said, based on that event in Genesis 2 about God bringing them together, joining them, that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. God ordained marriage, therefore He governs it. And if our marriages would be peaceful, we would remember that. But notice just from Genesis 2, the essential components that make up the formation of the home. First of all, there's a leaving. Genesis 2:24, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother. A determination to cut those apron strings and start one's own family. There's not only a leaving, there's a cleaving. A man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. That's the permanence of marriage. A man is bound to his wife as long as he lives. Romans 7, verses 2 and 3. The exception to that. In cases of fornication, Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. When the fornicator may be put away and the innocent party remarry with God's approval. Leaving, cleaving. And the third element, they shall become one flesh. A joining together, two lives becoming one in many respects. There's a oneness physically, a oneness emotionally, spiritually. Those are the essential elements of the forming of a home, and God placed them there. And when those essentials are not taught, believed, accepted, practiced, peace will not be the result in that home. It will always elude your grasp. Number two, what are some things that can steal the peace from a home? Not respecting the proper roles of family members. Not respecting the proper roles of family members. Very quickly, husbands, you need to lead the home. Ephesians 5, verse 23 places that responsibility on you. That means you have the responsibility to show the way, to guide, to set the tone for spiritual progress in the home. You're not a heartless dictator, of course, should not be. But God has given you as the husband the primary responsibility for leading your family toward heaven. Husbands are to have the same love for their families and specifically for the wife that Christ has for the church. Jesus was very interested in the salvation of the church. He gave His life that He might sanctify for Himself a people for His own possession. Husbands, are you interested in the salvation of your wife? Are you interested in the salvation of your family? You should be. That's your responsibility. God's not given that role for the wife to play, nor for the children, but for you, husbands, lead the home. Honor and value your wife. 1 Peter 3:7, giving honor unto her as the weaker vessel. Recognize that her value is far above precious jewels. Proverbs 31 verse 10. Husbands, that's your responsibility. You need to provide for your family. If any man does not provide for his own, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Paul's stern words of 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. And the word provide in that passage means to think of beforehand. How often, husbands, do you think about the provisions that you're to make for your family? And we might add, if not providing physically for one's family is tantamount to being an unbeliever, how must God view the husband who is not actively providing for the spiritual needs of his family? Wives, what are your responsibilities in order to help maintain the peace of the home? You need to honor and respect your husband. Ephesians 5, verse 33. That she honor, that she reverence, older translations, that she respect her husband, that passage says. Which means to show regard for, to esteem, to appreciate. Wives should do that for their husbands, according to God's direction. How many times I've seen things in my own experience between husbands and wives that are unfortunate at best and sinful in reality. When wives don't show proper respect to their husbands as husbands, publicly and loudly berating them in front of others, things of that sort, that's not Ephesians 5:33. And husbands, applies to you too. 1 Peter 3:7, we just mentioned, showing honor to her as the weaker vessel. There's no place for that. Wives, honor your husbands. Respect them. Submit to your husbands. Ephesians 5, verse 22. The word means to deliberately decide to place oneself under the authority of another. Let society call it what they will. It's still in the Bible. Doesn't mean, ladies, that you are inferior. That's what society will try to tell you. It doesn't mean that. It does mean that someone has been given the responsibility to lead the home. That's the husband. And wives are to respect that arrangement. Husbands, if they properly value their wives, will want their wives involved in the family and in discussing important matters and things of that sort. But the responsibility for leading the family ultimately resides with the husband. And the fact that the wife is to submit to that does not imply inferiority. I know that because of the relationship that Jesus possessed with the Father. Jesus assumed a role of submissiveness to the Father, did He not? When He walked the earth. I always do those things that are well-pleasing in His sight. John 8:29. Came down not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. John 6:38. And yet He could also say that on an equality standpoint, I and the Father are one. John 10:30. So just because one assumes a role of submissiveness to another does not mean that there is inferiority involved. Wives, submit to your husbands. Wives, maintain the home. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. God places that responsibility on you. Such glorifies God. And again, let not society convince you otherwise. Sometimes ladies work outside the home. I don't believe that that is sinful. But in the process, it does not still relieve the responsibilities that remain yours by God. And when husbands and wives don't understand, nor respect, nor abide by their God-given roles, peace will not be characteristic of that home. It just won't. We can't improve on God's way of doing things, can we? Do we know better? I don't think we do. And children, your role, Ephesians 6 verse 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because you get allowance if you do. Obey your parents so that you can get more time with the Xbox or the PlayStation. Children, obey your parents because you may get more privileges if you do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord for this reason. For it is right. You need no other reason. You obey your parents because it's the right thing to do. And when children don't do that, peace in the home is disrupted. And it's not the kind of home that God wants us to have. Number three, what are some peace stealers in our homes? Number one, not understanding that connection that exists between marriage and God. Number two, when people don't respect their roles in the home, be they husband, wife, or child. Number three, peace can be taken from our homes when we do not kill the spiritual termites that can eat away at the foundations of our homes. Just like literal termites can eat away your physical house, there are some spiritual termites that can eat away the foundation of your home. What are they? Number one, poor communication. Poor communication. Dr. David Mace, who is a past president of the American Association of Marriage Counselors, said this: poor communication is the reason for 86% of all problems in marriages. 86%. Poor communication. I have limited experience in counseling with people that have troubled marriages. I've done some, but not much. But even in the limited experience that I've had with that, there's no way I could argue with what that doctor said. I can very easily see that that can be, and probably is, in the vast majority of problems in the home, a central cause: poor communication. And so, with that in mind, remember a few things. As you think about keeping the peace in your home, remember, number one, words are powerful. What's the old saying? The pen is mightier than the sword. I kind of prefer the way God put it in Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think about that. Death and life in the power of the tongue. Words are powerful things. If they're not used properly, they can destroy a home. Remember this as well with regard to communication. Work at listening. Work at listening. We most often associate communication with talking. Good communication starts with listening. Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. James 1:19. Hard to improve on that formula. Some fellow said, God blessed us with two ears and only one mouth, so we probably ought to listen twice as much as we talk. Hard to argue with that too. Work at listening. Proverbs 18:13 says, whoever answers a matter before he hears it, it is a shame and folly to him. That's foolishness. To answer a matter before you've heard it. But how often do we do that in our marriages? When we come up with a disagreement with our spouse, and they're trying to explain to us their take on it, or their view, or their feelings, or whatever it is. But instead of listening, we're formulating our answer already, interrupting them. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is foolishness to him and a shame. Cry in shame. Work at listening. Three, with regard to communication, think before speaking. Think. Just think before you open your mouth. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." See the difference that's being drawn? Between one who studies how to answer and one that just opens his mouth and pours forth. One is wise, the other is evil. Think before you speak, remembering that words are powerful and that you need to work on listening. Next, with regard to communication, always try to be calm. A soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 15:1. You want to keep peace in your home? When you have those disagreements, try to stay calm and always be honest. Let every man speak truth with his neighbor. Ephesians 4, verse 25. What are some termites that can eat away the foundation of our homes? Poor communication. Two, poor physical relationship. A poor physical relationship. God created physical intimacy to be a part of the marriage relationship. And when that relationship is not what it should be, oftentimes peace is lost. Whenever one looks at that intimacy selfishly, as a matter only of receiving and never a matter of giving, peace will be lost. Using the physical relationship as a bargaining tool, try to get your way, will result in peace being stolen from the home. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 2 through 5, that each of you, husband and wife, from a physical standpoint, belongs to the other. We need to remember that and try to make that aspect of our relationship healthy. And if it is, peace will be the result. Number three, termites that can destroy our homes. Religious division. Spiritual division. Whether it be a home that is comprised of one who is a Christian and one who's not, or whether it be one who is a faithful child of God and one who is unfaithful. Same result can happen. It's hard to maintain peace in the home when husband and wife do not have in common the most important thing of all existence. And so, what do? You live faithfully yourself, setting an example for your unbelieving or unfaithful spouse. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2, and never sacrifice what's right. And then finally, of these termites that can destroy our homes, unresolved conflict. Unresolved conflict. Always remember that marriage is a we relationship, not an I versus you relationship. Remember, one flesh, Genesis 2:24. Address situations as quickly as possible. Jesus even said, Matthew 5, agree with your adversary while you walk in the way. And agree with him quickly. Resolve those difficulties. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, Ephesians 4. Verse 26, that's good policy. Remember the golden rule, Matthew 7, 12. Treat the other person the way you want to be treated when conflicts arise especially. And pray together. Before addressing the conflict and after dealing with the problem. Lest your prayers be hindered. 1 Peter 3, 7. The psalm said at the outset of the lesson, unless the Lord builds the house, they who build it are laboring in vain. How true that is. We all want our homes to be peaceful. We want there to be peace in the valley of hectic homes. But the answers for finding that peace are not that difficult. If we will understand that God governs marriage and We need to do things His way because He knows what's best. If we recognize the proper roles that each of us have and try to do those to the best of our ability. If we watch out for those termites, communicate well and make sure physical things are good and religious things are being worked out, conflicts are resolved the way that they should be. Now, there's a lot of work involved in a lot of those areas. But peace can rule our homes. But only when God's will is sought and each member molds himself to God's will. Do you have peace in the valley of your hectic home? If you don't, go home and study these principles again with an open Bible, an open heart, and with strong resolve to apply them properly. If you're not one of God's children today, then in many ways you lack peace. You may not realize it, but we only have peace with God through our obedient trust in Christ. Romans 5:1. So without you being obedient to the gospel, you lack something that you desperately need. But it doesn't have to stay that way. If you'll respond obediently to the gospel, peace can be yours. Repent of your sins. Be baptized for the forgiveness of them. Acts 2:38. The blood of Christ will wash your sins away.